I have been captivated this week by this image, which I showed on Christmas Day. I'd never seen something quite like it before, where Joseph is holding Jesus so that Mary can sleep. I've entitled this morning's homily, Small Things with Great Love. And this is a depiction of that very truth, small things with great love. During this time of the year, the church invites us to think about the family in three different ways. Today, we think about the most nuclear of families, the smallest family, the holy family. And so today at this Mass, we think about individual families. Tonight and tomorrow, when we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God, we will think about the family that is the church. And then next Sunday, when we celebrate the Feast of the Epiphany, we will think of the family of all the nations. Do you see the beauty of Catholicism? This has all been done very intentionally, moving from this holy family that then spreads out into the church so that then the world can be touched by the good news of the gospel that is Jesus Christ. But as we think today about this holy family, we need to be able to do this in a way that is realistic. When we think about the holy family, sometimes we think, oh, I can never be a family like that holy family. They're the holy family, and my family's anything but holy like that. And yet, we need to appreciate something about this holy family, the challenges that they faced. Of course, we know of how Mary and Joseph had to travel 100 kilometers from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of the census. Now, can you imagine what it would have been like if you were Mary and Joseph 40 days after your little bambino has been born and you're in the temple, and this old man comes up to you, and he says words like this: "This boy is meant for the rise and fall of many in Jerusalem and Israel, and he'll be a sign of contradiction. Oh, and by the way, a sword is going to pierce your own soul too." I mean, we've heard it so often, we can take it for granted. But imagine what that would have been like for Mary to hear those words for the first time. What's he talking about? What does he mean? And although we didn't have it in today's Mass, Simeon does sing this beautiful psalm where he celebrates the fact that this is the Messiah, I see him. And I'm sure that would have given Our Lady reassurance. But then don't miss the trajectory of the story. Within a year to 18 months of this day of presentation, before Jesus is even able to walk, they have to flee to Egypt, where we believe that they spent 3 to 4 years. Imagine what that would have been like, going to a country where they didn't know the language, setting up in a culture that was so different from their own culture. I came across this painting the other day, and I'm going to explain it to you. If you look over here, we have the Sphinx, and here is Our Lady with our Savior lying in the paw arm of the Sphinx. Over here is Saint Joseph lying on the sand and the donkey foraging for food. I find this a moving image. It's captivated me for the last 4 days. And what strikes me is the following. The Sphinx represents the power of Egypt. How powerful an empire it had been. And here is the Savior of the world lying in the arms of his mother, not knowing what will face them as they then enter into the land of Egypt. And this is what I want you to hear today. It's in that land, in this context, that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph learn what it is to be the Holy Family. It is here that Jesus begins to learn the nature of his vocation and his calling. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, we always learn to be a holy family in a world where there are many influences and forces that would discourage us from seeking such a vocation. Still, this feast reminds us that we all have the potential to become holy families For you see, holiness has to do with how we treat one another. Holiness has to do with dedication. Holiness has to do with loving one another unselfishly and respectfully. I love the way St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta put it. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. Not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And in order to make the point, she brings it home. Love begins by taking care of the closest ones, the ones at home. Love begins by taking care of the closest ones, the ones at home. Now, to think about this a little bit more, let's talk about snowflakes. Why do kids make snowflakes in schools? Why do we like to have snowflakes on cars and maybe, not cars, on cards? Maybe some people like them on their cars too. But why do we then hang them? Because you see, they seem to be the perfect symbol of purity, symmetry, and perfection. Now, get ready for a shocker. This is what the snowflake looks like if it's not highly magnified. This is what the snowflake looks like when it is highly magnified. It's got zits all over it. It's got carbuncles, and it's not the most attractive thing in the world. Why have I put this up here? Because sometimes I think people believe every other family's like this family, but my family's like this family. That's the problem. For you see, none of us are this family. But the challenge is, many of us perhaps were told or are told, this is the kind of family you have to be on the outside. You've got to be this kind of snowflake. But then as soon as we get home, it's like this. And so we need to be able to be honest, to see and to understand that to live as God's people means that there is no snowflake family. There isn't. Not even the Holy Family was a snowflake family. Again, think about their lives, not only in terms of what I have just mentioned, but when they got back to Nazareth. The talk in the town, the cousins, as Jesus was getting a little bit older, they said, this guy's kind of loopy. We should sort of lock him up for a while. I mean, it was never easy for the Holy Family, and it's never easy for your family or for my family. But that's the point. For you see that we learn to live out our lives amidst the challenges of everyday family life, where we learn to do little things with great love. What is family life? It's a series of little things, seemingly mundane chores, done over and over. It's keeping faithful, staying to the routine. The lunches, the drop-offs, sign-ups, forms, backpacks. The day in, day out of family life is not glamorous or exciting. But it does call from each of us a depth of faithfulness that finds its expression in the Holy Family. So this is not a Hallmark holiday. This is a real holiday. This is about our life in the real world experienced by each and every one of us, and we all have stories of what the distorted snowflake looks like. And yet, what we are invited to is to a profound sense of hope, purpose, and to be inspired by the example of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. What I'd like to do with the latter part of the homily now is focus just on the Old Testament text, particularly that reading from Sirach, to show you how it illustrates for you and for me how we can do small acts with great love so as to emulate the family on the screen. But I want to begin by turning briefly to one verse from the Psalm where we sang these words, "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table." Now, fruitful vines, what do vines produce? Grapes, what do you use grapes for? To make wine. What does wine represent in the Bible? Joy. So there's an aspect to family life, to having children, the fruitfulness of childbirth that is joyful. But man, it is also hard work. And the second part of this verse illustrates that when it says, your children will be like olive shoots around about your table. Do you know how many years it takes before an olive tree will begin to bear fruit? At least 10 years. So don't read this as, again, some sort of idyllic, oh, isn't family life wonderful? And those Jewish people, they had it so easy, but they're the snowflake family and I'm not. Not at all. It's hard work. It requires the day in, day out, gentleness, firmness, care to tend to these shoots as they grow. And I don't have time to go to Colossians this morning, but maybe on your own you could just reflect on that reading from Colossians in light of what I'm teaching today. For you see, at the very heart of our faith is this call that to do small acts with great love is always going to be sacrificial. It is never easy. It calls us out of ourselves. And that's where the reading from Sirach has so much to say to us today. Sirach is a great book of the Old Testament that's all about practical living. And in its 52 chapters, it's all about how do we live a fruitful life? How can we be like this tree? In the passage that I read, or we heard read this morning, it was from chapter 3. But before I return to that passage, I just want to read briefly some words from chapter 7, four chapters over. And listen to what chapter 7 of the book of Sirach says about what it means to honor father and mother. This is from Sirach chapter 7. With all your heart, honor your father, and do not forget the birth pangs of your mother. Remember that through your parents you were born. And what can you give back to them that equals their gift to you? What can you give back to them that equals their gift to you? The answer is there's nothing we can give back to them. So with this in mind, what's so beautiful about the passage that we read today is it's divided into two parts. The first part gives principles in relation to what it means to honor your father and your mother, and what the consequences of that can be for our lives. So let me just highlight that again. To respect one's mother, says Sirach chapter 3, is like one who lays up treasure. To honor father and mother is a way that we can atone for sin. The person who honors father and mother will have joy in their own children. Why is this? Well, it just makes sense. If you have a relationship where you as a father are seeking to honor your father and you're emulating that to your children, that in itself is an excellent example. So in turn, they will seek hopefully to honor and respect you as well. But the thing that's so striking about all of this stuff in Sirach 3, to learn to be a holy family results in longevity. Remember those olive shoots that I referenced, and it takes up to 10 years for an olive to begin to grow? Do you know how long an olive tree can live? 3,000 years, 2,000 years. I was in the Garden of Gethsemane a few years back, and there was a tree there, an olive tree that was 3,000 years old. It was there when King David was there. There were five trees that were there when Jesus was there. They're 2,000 years old. That's why this tree is up on the screen. Because there's something about learning the way of living a life as a holy family that provides for a certain continuity. And that brings us then to the very practical words that come at the end of today's reading. You can't get more concrete, you can't get more contemporary than the words you're about to hear, but I'm going to put them up on the screen so that you can read them as well. My child, help your father in his old age, and do not grieve him as long as he lives. Even if his mind fails, be patient with him because you have all of your faculties. Do not despise him. Now, you could put mother in there as well. This passage was written 2,200 years ago. And yet it speaks about how do we seek to respond to parents who are suffering from dementia or other forms of cognitive challenges. What's implied is we can despise them because it's hard work, because we've got all of our faculties. But the verse is so clear on saying, do not do that, because of what it says next. For kindness to a father will not be forgotten. Will not be forgotten by who? Well, by God. And when your father or mother die and they're in heaven and they're ready to welcome you home, part of what I'm sure they will say was, thank you for the way you loved me, the way you cared for me, the way you did not despise me, the way you sacrificed for me. But there's another part to this that's fascinating. It will be credited against your sins. What does that mean? Well, if you're anything like me, you have a tendency to be self-centered, to think about yourself. That's what sin is, having me in the middle. But when we're learning to live in a holy family, when we're learning to do small acts with great love, it atones against our sins because it takes us out of ourselves and it actually becomes a form of penance. Had you ever thought about that? That everything you do in your family, not only for your older parents, but everything that's difficult becomes an opportunity for penance. It's a way to grow in holiness. Now, this verse was not in our reading, but I want to share it because it's so beautiful. When you care for your father, when you care for your mother like this, says the book of Sirach, like frost in fair weather, your sins will melt away. Isn't the Bible beautiful? Listen to this poetry. Listen to the word of God. Listen to how on this Holy Family Sunday, you and I are inspired each and every day to take up the challenge to be men, women, teenagers, children who are learning to say yes. Holy Family, Mary, Joseph, Jesus, please help me to learn to do small things with great love.